Oh yeah. Back on the streets. Truth Pandemic Podcast. January 2022. CC Dubs here. Want to say what's up to everybody. As promised, each episode, I'm going to share a new song with you, a new piece of poetry or writing. And this particular episode is titled Lonely Road. What you just heard there was a piece of the song that I wrote called Lonely Road. And you will hear the full song at the end of the podcast. So to kick it off, I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. So to kick back, relax, and let's get down to it. Back on the streets after years under lock and key. Conditioned by the system mentally, but spiritually, he's still intact, going back to where it all began. As a child, now returning as a broken man. His only memories remind him of the poverty that pushed him to the edge and led him to the robbery. Identity of his father still a mystery. No synchronicity, dysfunctional family. He opens up the door. Mama's face lights up with joy. Tears in her eyes as she reaches for her baby boy. Oh, mama, why are you crying? Everything's gonna be all right. And at that moment in his heart, he vowed to change his life. But hope is minimal for criminals fresh out the cage. Searching for a job is like searching for a cure for AIDS. You do the crime, you do the time, but when they set you free, you're sentenced to a life of struggle in society. Still, he presses on, searching for the hidden treasure, trying to find the key that will set his spirit free forever. Some kind of cure, he endures pain and stormy weather. The world can judge him, but his heart is what the Lord will measure. The world is pressing him and testing him beyond endurance. He prays to God for a sign or some kind of assurance. That's when his spirit heard a voice calling from the light. I'll never let you walk alone. It's gonna be all right. I've been walking this lonely road so long. Am I ever gonna make it home? I don't know, but I gotta keep my head up high. Oh Lord, won't you take my hand? I wanna make it to the promised land. Help me be strong. Lead me on and on. She's 27, but emotionally, she's still 11. The little girl she once was died and went to heaven. She tries to hide it, but she can't erase the evidence. Ever since the day her father stole her innocence. Once upon a time, he used to be her greatest friend. She lost all trust the day his lust stung like a scorpion. To make it worse, she bears the curse born from his voice. Don't ever tell. So in her mind, she never had a choice. So like a flower, no sun and no source of water, she wilts away, chronicles of a broken daughter who wanted desperately to look her mother in the eyes, release the pain and explain why she always cried. Full grown, walks alone, feeling isolated, sabotage relationships with every man she dated. To open up and learn to trust is much too complicated for a girl whose little world was brutally invaded. Captivated by the hope of one day being free, every night she falls desperately to her knees. Last night her spirit heard a voice calling from the light. I'll never let you walk alone. It's gonna be all right. I've been walking this lonely road so long. Am I ever gonna make it home? I don't know, but I gotta keep my head up high. Oh Lord, won't you take my hand? I wanna make it to the promised land. Help me be strong. Lead me on and on. By any means necessary, except for violence. It's time to kill the pain, break the chains, break the silence. Intoxicated to the deepest level of addiction. Fascinated with the devil, critical condition. We used to fight for civil rights, now we fight each other. Disrespect each other, hurt each other, kill each other. That money green got us fiending for the quick hit. Economic conflict. Now we're wounded and sick, losing our grip as we slip deeper into the game. It's a shame, but it seems we're getting numb to the pain. Ain't naming names, but you know the ones I'm speaking of. The ones who get rich, pushing sex, violence, and drugs. You say I'm hating. Good. As long as you understand. Just because you're rich and run your lips don't make you a man. I've got big dreams, but there's certain things I can't allow. I stand my ground. You put me down. Who's hating now? The lonely road, sometimes it's the only road. So if you're feeling me, come with me, let's go. When you're weak, I will carry you. That's all my life. We got each other. I'm your brother. We gonna be all right. All right. So, yeah, look for that at the end of the podcast. And let's get down to it. I hope everybody's good out there. God bless you. I hope your families are good. I hope, you know, your relationships are tightening up. I know I'm trying in my life to tighten those relationships up. And I want to get to that here in a little bit. I want to start off by giving some big props to a few people. And technically, I'm talking to anyone and everyone out there who can relate to this scenario. I want to say, you know, what's up and God bless you and I love you to my little brother, man. And I've been able to talk with him lately, and it's kind of hard for me to address this, so I'm going to say it the way I know God wants me to say this. My little brother, man, is a good dude. And he's been through a lot of things in his life, things that I will not mention out of respect for me not, of course, communicating with him and asking if I could share. But I'll tell you this. Most of you have heard my story. You've read my story, or you can read about my story. My little brother's story deserves, just like millions of other people's stories, it deserves this right here. I love God, and I'm thankful to God that my little brother is so changed in his life that he now knows God, and he shares God, and he stands firm in that. And I'm going to tell you something. This is what's important. Don't get it twisted around here. This dude's been down the road, and now he's on the right road. And I'm going to share more about him later in different podcasts. And we're actually going to have him as a guest very soon. So let me get down to it. The Lonely Road. So when I wrote that song, a lot of things had come to mind. I wrote that actually in 2007. I decided to use it as a theme today because it's interesting to me. Excuse me. In piggybacking off the Defenders of the Faith podcast that I have previously posted, is the ideas and things people start to think about people who know God. And I always defer to this, that most of us didn't always know God. We knew everything that everybody knew. We heard preachers, we heard Bible verses, we heard, you know, you're going to hell, we heard the word sin, we heard all these different things. That doesn't mean you know anything. That's like hearing about, you know, the possibility of nuclear war, but you haven't lived through one. So, the lonely road. When you follow God, you're actually doing something that was already predicted before. And what I mean by that is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What's interesting about that now, or I should say in my life now, is when I heard that verse as a child, as a teenager, you know, you read it and you try to comprehend it based on the wording and the connections and, you know, but when you start to think about that, apply that to anything that you do in your life and see what happens. For instance, the weekend comes. Most people plan their weekend, especially people who like to get out there in the world, you know, and kick it, whether it be, you know, clubs, bars, whatever it might be. And I'm not knocking what people choose to do. I'm using examples. These are real examples. You can't deny them. Okay. So when you go to these places, you don't show up to the club and there's like five people there. That would be the narrow road. You'd be like, why ain't anybody here kicking it? No, you go because you know that there's going to be a lot of people there kicking it. And you want to kind of get in the mix and blend in and feel like, you know, hey, I'm being social and I'm doing, this is cool, you know, whatever. No problem. So then something happens. Someone gets hurt. Someone drinks too much. I don't know. Someone gets beat down in the club. Whatever, all the different scenarios that do happen in real life. And say you decide, you know what? My common sense tells me that, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and I'd rather not take the risk. So I'm going to take the narrow road next weekend, and I'm just going to like go to the movies or go here or go there. So what happens is we're already doing this stuff anyway. It's called common sense. The problem is a lot of people don't use their common sense, or I think bigger than that is what takes control of our common sense? That's a good question. But what I want to do here is draw the parallel. So if I choose God, I'm choosing God's word and his will. So that would lead me to studying his word to better understand his will. Thus, it leads me to this verse. And I now go, So when I take one choice and then add a bunch of choices to it, now we're reshaping our lives. Not just one day out of the week or Friday or Saturday. We're reshaping the entirety of how we're going to walk 7 days a week. It's challenging, it's tough, and it's hard, especially when you're just coming out of something that you were so used to. And this is applicable to everyone. No one has a special superpower, people. No one that follows God has a special superpower. Some of us are coming out of different scenarios that may present themselves as if we have a superpower. For instance, you know, coming out of drug addiction is a lot different than, say, just stopping going to the club. Okay? Seems like one's easier than the other. The bottom line is, doesn't that depend on the person's situation and their personal addiction or how they're sucked into that? That's their experience. But to beat it can be just as important as the person who beat drugs. The bottom line is, coming out of it is the key. What I want to point out is, people out there, if you have fought, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, to overcome something that you knew was taking you down, that was trying to take you out, okay? And it could be drugs, drinking. It could be being in a relationship or a marriage where there's abuse or dysfunction that's so deep and so rampant that you just did not understand nor know how the heck you were going to get out of it. But out of nowhere, through some communication with God and a little bit of faith, sometimes just a lot of faith, a lot of pressing and please God, give me the strength, right? One day you, bam, you're out. Well, guess what? Don't let nobody take you back in. The fight was too hard. And here's what's interesting. Ask yourself why you fought to get out in the first place. Were you insane? Did you just all of a sudden just like go cuckoo clock and now you're going to turn your back on something just because like it was the fun thing to do? No, but that's what people think. See, the interesting thing is how hard and how hard people work to pull you back into their circle versus trying to find out from you how you beat it. Because I guarantee you, most of those people are trying to beat it too. They just won't admit it. They use words like, oh, I'm just making memories, or, oh, I'm social, and, oh, I'm just living my best life. Let me tell you something. Waking up after having sex with strangers is not living your best life. Waking up because you passed out from drinking too much is not living your best life. Hurting your parents, hurting your wife, your husband, no, that's not living your best life. And I could go on and on. To me, living your best life is when you know you're on that narrow road. It's narrow, but you can still walk and you still got room to breathe. And the reason is because not everybody's on that road. But if you look around, you'll see some people. And I guarantee you this, you can probably trust those people a heck of a lot more than if you were on that broad road looking around for help and trust. Don't believe me? Look at your own experiences. You know, this is not rocket science, but I think what my goal here with this podcast is to say, listen, you made it to the narrow road. Don't give up. Don't go backwards just because you feel alone or because you feel a little scared or out of place or because it feels foreign to you. Don't let people pull you back just so they can have some temporary moment of not feeling alone in what they're doing. Again, in the song, the lonely road, sometimes it's the only road. Okay? So stick to your guns and get into the word and to the will of God. Now, I'm going to talk about another road. So it's known knowledge that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is responsible for a lot of the writing of the New Testament. Most people who've studied, even at a minute level, know the story of Paul. So I'm going to give you a quick summary with maybe a little bit more info before I get into this section. So Paul, technically, Saul, he basically killed Christians and hunted them down for the Romans. And he was relentless. And on the road to Damascus, a light appeared. And he testifies to this personally. And then, of course, it's also shared with us via the gospel. He talks about the light, a light that shone down and basically, you know, blinded him. And Jesus spoke to him, you know, and he said, basically, why are you persecuting me? You know, Saul heard that voice. Anyway, people think that at that moment he was, you know, converted, so to speak. No, he wasn't converted. He was basically overtaken by the power of God, and he was issued some instructions, and he basically couldn't argue. So he said, well, what is it that you need me to do? So the story goes on from there. But this happened on the road to Damascus. And I think that as I study more and more about that, I understand something here. People always want God to intervene. You know, stop this, stop that, you know, don't allow this person to die. Please God, please God, please God. And I always say to people, you know what? I want the same things sometimes, you know, I want God to change things for me immediately. Maybe, even for other people, you know, I'll see a sad story and I'll be like, God, can you just help that child? Or, you know, and I always say to myself, dude, if God does something, it's going to be drastic. But the beauty of it is, if we look around, he's doing stuff all the time, and it is drastic. I want to talk about this lonely road in reference to this. It's funny how the Word of God can teach us what we need to know. But then we get people who want to share that word of God and preach that word of God, but then all of a sudden now they want to change stuff up. It's called sound doctrine versus false doctrine. And the reason why this is relevant is because sound doctrine leads to that narrow road. Because we live in a world dominated by false doctrine. In other words, sound teaching of the truth of God and Jesus Christ leads to the truth. It leads to repentance. It leads to people changing the way they live their life in a world that is trying to take their life. False doctrine promotes worldly living as to keep the flow going so that no one feels like they're really preaching or sharing something that might rub someone the wrong way. When I share God, I don't really care about that because it's God's word, not mine. I could definitely say things personally that could rub someone the wrong way. I can create all kinds of things, cuss words, phrases, whatever. But the difference is when you're sharing God, you share the Bible. And you got to be careful when you start trying to share examples and different things that you don't get too far away from that word, because now it becomes what you think. For instance, how do we know? How do we know if something's sound doctrine or false doctrine? Well, the first thing we do is go to the sound doctrine, which is the Bible. For instance, in 1 John chapter 4, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we hear John say, test the spirits, and we hear Paul say, test everything. What do they mean by test? To conduct a test, you need, variables. You need different things in place so that you can then do checks and balances. Okay. The first thing that you can do is question this. Is what someone speaking come with the authority within the Bible, or is it outside of the Bible? An example of that would be, Jesus don't care if we drink, he drank wine. Really? Okay. Well, research what wine is, and then you'll find that there's all kinds of processes that take place that lead to fermentation that lead to alcohol levels, okay? I can crush some grapes up right now into some juice, and technically it's wine, but they call it grape juice, right? Okay, cool. No problem. So if those same crushed up grapes ferment long enough, why ain't it still grape juice? Okay, we'll skip that. The bottom line is reading something in the Bible, flipping it around in your mind so that you can justify what you're doing. Jesus didn't get drunk. He drank grape juice. And let's just say this, okay? I'll step out of that for a minute. Let's say that it was slightly fermented, okay? Have you ever drank wine and just drank a little wine and moved on? Or how come when you think about wine, you think about overdosing on it enough to get drunk? Okay, so we'll move on. Next, you can look at, is the sound doctrine consistent with the scripture itself or other scriptures that coincide and can hold each other up? False doctrine is inconsistent. You can hear it all over the internet. You can hear it when people share the word of God. People love to get up in front of these big old crowds that show up at their church and appease them so that little donation, tray that goes around, the offering tray, gets filled and people will return because it's a feel-good moment. What doesn't feel good is when you walk into church and they're preaching the real word and it's calling people out on human behavior that's inconsistent with the will of God. See, people that want to change are willing to go back and hear that more and more because they want to change. People who don't want to change don't want to hear that. So they do this thing called find a different church. Okay. Then you got, is what we're sharing giving people the ammunition and the strength to be hungry to learn more about God's will, or to be more hungry about watching our next episode? I want people to listen to my podcast because they want to hear the word of God and hear some connections and then get out there and learn more than me. Because this is about God. Now, let's look at sound doctrine versus false doctrine in this sense. Which doctrine promotes godly living versus ungodly living? So for instance, it's easy for me to tell people that I love and care about because I'm scared I'll never see them again, or they might die from a drug overdose, or they might drink too much, or okay, to tell them what they want to hear so that I can benefit from their presence, or I can be real with them, tell them that they're hurting me with their behaviors and their ungodly living. And then number one, set an example. Okay, that's the first thing. Set the example. We got a lot of people running around here talking all this smack, trying to share God, but then the first thing they do is something ungodly. People are watching you. Okay? All right, so bottom line is this. It is a narrow road. And in my opinion, it's inarguable, because when you think about how easy it is right now, you could pick any form of living and you could find a way to do it right now. Matter of fact, our world has evolved to where you can find it pretty much 24 hours a day through this thing called the internet. Then you can go out in real time and make it happen. I would love statistics on how many marriages and really strong loving relationships have been corrupted and damaged by Facebook, social media, TikTok, this, that, whatever, all because of someone's curiosity and then the action steps they take to literally screw their own life up. We need God, people. We need to understand something here. None of us are above this stuff. None of us are above the things in this world. Smart people, intelligent people, doctors, lawyers, all this stuff, okay? Those don't necessitate smart people. Some people are good at a skill. Some people can sell a car. Some people can preach. Some people can, you know, study the law, but more importantly, they know how to apply it. Those are skills. Intelligence, to me, begins with common sense. And then it begins by applying common sense to one thing that obviously we're not in control of anything. To submit to a God, or I should say to submit to the God I know is the one and only God, is to gain power. Automatic power. So that when you're traveling that lonely road, it doesn't matter if it's light, dark, no food, no water. God's going to get you down that road. And here's what's funny. You may die on that road. And people might go, oh, look, see, well, he was living that godly life. Well, he still died. What did you think was going to happen? Everyone's going to die. But I know this. I went out smooth. I went out setting an example. I went out doing God's will. Now, before I end this podcast, so I had some Q&A come in. I had some questions come in, and I want to answer a couple of those questions during this podcast and before I send you guys on with the song, okay? So, question came in by a young lady. Why do you think people these days are so quick to believe in the universe, but not God who created the universe? Well, we can That's a good question. We can just simply say this. Think about what we've believed ourselves. See, before we question other people, more times than not, it's easier to look at yourself. So whether you could replace the word universe and just say anything, why did a person believe that this was better than that or this was better than that? The bottom line is human beings navigate towards things that they can understand easier. They navigate towards things that don't require a lot of work. It's just a fact. Some people navigate towards that element of thought beyond the average person. And therefore you get historical icons, that have accomplished some pretty amazing things, you know, outside of normal thinking and living. But here's the bottom line. Because God scares people. And the reason why God scares people is not this fear factor. It's they don't want something to confront them on their human behavior and living. It's the bottom line. I love when I hear people say, well, I live a good life and I'm trying to be good to everybody. And I go, well, good for you. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay. Where did you get the idea of good? And if your idea of good is so great, how come it's not rubbing off on everybody around you? Oh, I know why. Because you can't preach you. That goodness came from God. They just won't recognize it. They'd rather say, oh, well, the stars crossed this way and I was born on this date. And so therefore, goodness came to me through that process. Okay, great. You can believe that. That's cool. I'm not knocking you. But I'll tell you this. Well, those stars did create themselves. Second question. What truly gets us to heaven? When I was younger, I used to think it was just by being a good person. But now that I'm older, I believe that having a relationship with God, including Him in everything that I do, helping others know Him and putting Him first gets us there. Wow, that's she kind of answered it herself, but I'm going to add this to it. And it comes from the Word, and it's one of the most famous verses ever in the history of humankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So in this sense, everlasting life is heaven. Okay, what is heaven? Heaven is returning back to your Creator, which is God, and spending eternity from which you came. Okay? So the first step is to believe in God, but here's the deal. But believe in my Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed for you. Okay? And you will not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'm going to add this to this, okay? Because everybody goes, well, I do believe in Jesus. Then they go out doing all kinds of ungodly things and worldly things. Here's the deal. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe in His word. You believe in His truth. Then that truth should become you. So the excuses are gone. Okay? We get to heaven through that. But ultimately, God's grace. And God's grace is cool. I like to think about that. Like, God loves me so much that He's given me that open door back to Him. And I'm going to leave it at that. All right. So listen, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that this message helps, and I hope that you share it with others and that it helps you grow and that continues to help me grow by sharing it. I love God. And in Jesus' name, I wish everyone a blessed life, and I wish everybody wisdom in a world that is really, really, really going nowhere fast. God bless you, and here is Lonely Road. Keep my head up high. Oh.
to lock and key. Conditioned by the system mentally but spiritually, he's still intact, going back to where it all began. As a child, now returning as a broken man. His only memories remind him of the poverty that pushed him through the edge and led him to the robbery. Identity of his father still a mystery. No synchronicity, dysfunctional family. He opens up the door, mama's face lights up with joy. Tears in her eyes as she reaches for her baby boy. Oh mama, why you crying? Everything gonna be alright. And at that moment in his heart, he vowed to change his life. Their hope is minimal for criminals fresh out the cage. Try finding jobs like searching for a cure for AIDS. You do the crime, you do the time, but when they set you free, your sentence to a life of struggle in society. But still he presses on, searching for the hidden treasure. Try to find the key that'll send his spirit free forever. Some kind of cure, he endures pain and stormy weather. The world can judge him, but his heart is what the Lord will measure. The world is pressing him and testing him beyond endurance. He prays to God for a sign of some kind of assurance. That's when his spirit heard the voice coming from the light. I'll never let you walk alone, it's gonna be alright. But emotionally she's still 11. The little girl she once was died and went to heaven. She tries to fight it but she can't erase the evidence. Ever since the day her father stole her innocence. Once upon a time he used to be her greatest friend. She lost all trust the day his lust hung like a scorpion. To make it worse she bears the curse born from his voice. Don't ever tell so in her mind she never had a choice. And like a flower no sun and no source of water, she runs away chronicles of a broken daughter. Who wanted desperately to look a mother in the eyes. Release the pain and explain why she always cried. Full grown, walks alone, feeling isolated. Sabotage relationships with every man she dated. To open up and learn to trust is much too complicated. For a girl whose little world was brutally invaded. Captivated by the hope of one day being free. Every night she falls desperately to her knees. Last night her spirit heard a voice calling from the light. I'll never let you walk alone, it's gonna be alright. Intoxicated to the deepest level of addiction. Fascinated with the day of critical condition. We used to fight for civil rights, now we fight each other. Disrespect each other, hurt each other, kill each other. Kill that money dream, got us feeling for the quick hit. Economic conflict, now we're living in sick. Losing our grip as we slip deeper in the game. It's a shame, but it seems we're getting numb to the pain. Ain't no man names, but you know the ones I'm speaking of. The ones who get rich, pushing sex, violence, and drugs. You say I'm hating good, long as you understand. Cause you're rich and run your lips, don't make you a man. I've got big dreams, but there's certain things I can't allow. I stand my ground, you put me down.